No brag, just fact.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge. All right, here we are. It is time for this song to play.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gun, he bought it new out of a Sears and Roebuck catalog, and it shot a many shell over the top of an old bird dog, and it backed a burglar down when Grandma took the safety off. Granddaddy's gun. It's just a double barrel 12. The stock is cracked and it kicks like hell. It wouldn't mean what it means to me to no one. I can hear his voice when I put it to my shoulder. Guns like a woman, son, it's all how you hold her. He taught me a whole lot more than how to hunt. And one of these days I'll pass it on to my son. Granddaddy's gun. He handed it to me on the day I turned 13, with a half-shot box of shells and a kit to keep it clean. I keep a picture in the case of that sweet old man and me with Granddaddy's gun. Like hell, it wouldn't mean what it means to me to no one. I can hear his voice when I put it to my
bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale.
Nobody knew where he came from. They only knew he came in.
Uh-oh, here he comes again. Here's Cope with the shooting bench.
I still remember these words. Oh, it's plain that you're looking for trouble. Trouble's what I try to shun. If that's what you want, then that's what you'll get. 'Cause cowboy, we're both packing guns.
You know what's good for you. Stay tuned for 100% Gun Talk, coming up right now.
44 spoke, and he sent letting smoke. 17 inches of flame. Oh, the big one had never cleared leather, beaten before he could start. A little round hole had appeared on his shirt. The bullet went clear through his heart.
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, now we're in here. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 4th of June, and of course, it's a Thursday. Thursdays are our night to try to slip in as much gun-related information as we can, and tonight's no exception. We've got several things to talk about involving guns. Got a few things to talk about that doesn't involve guns. Not too long, just a few little things. Won't be too terribly annoying for you, hopefully. But here in a little while, we're going to talk about the differences and what you should look for in defensive ammunition versus practice or generic stuff. And then we've got a couple of other issues we need to discuss. And one of them is going to be a story about Glocks. Can you imagine hearing a story about Glocks on the shooting bench? But anyway... Now, right now, what we're doing is waiting for the cotton picking computer. I tell you what, this stuff keeps up here. I'm going to have to either... I probably ought to retire this laptop. It's served me well. I've been using it for... I'm going on 5 years. I got it new in Luna. And we moved there in late 2010. So we're getting pretty close to 5 years on this laptop. And this is not your average laptop. You people need to understand. Some of you that's been with me a while know that I've done almost...
Wait.
What are you talking about?
We bugged Mr. Blake's cell.
Hush. Stop. We've done almost every show that I've ever done, at least since late 2010, has been done off of this laptop. There's been a...
just listen to this, Paul.
I could probably count all the shows that I've done not on this laptop, probably on one hand. I did a show with Bobby up in Ohio or Indiana off of his desktop. And that's the only one that comes to mind right offhand, but I'm sure I've done a couple others. But you remember, you guys have followed me around here, and this laptop has done shows from St. Louis and Shamrock, Texas, and all over on the side of the road, Cortez, Moab, California, Washington, several of them from Washington, Colorado. We've done shows from all over the country with this thing. It has earned its... It has paid for itself without a shadow of a doubt. But it's starting to get very annoying with all the delays and everything, and I apologize for that. And I'm going to have to start looking at getting something else here before long or seeing if I can get this one cleaned up. Ha! I killed that sucker. There we go. So, anyway, let's move on. Now, before we get into the gun-related stuff, We need to see how, you talk about full circle. No, don't talk about full circle. Talk about half circle. From Andy of Mayberry's day, from Andy Griffith's day, here is a little sound bite here. It's a minute long about how a true police officer, a true public servant, would have felt and should feel now about the Patriot Act. Now, listen to this.
Wait,
don't listen to that because I've got the sound turned off. All right, let's try that again.
What are you talking about?
We bugged Mr. Blake's cell.
You what?
We bugged the cell with Arnold's tape recorder. Just listen to this, Paul.
I can't listen to that.
But, Paul.
Opie, I can't listen to that. I'm not permitted.
But, Paul, you don't understand.
Opie, I can't listen to this. Now, I told you about eavesdropping.
But, Paul, this is different.
Yes, it's worse. You overheard a conversation that was supposed to be private. Now, I can't be a party to that.
But, Paul, if you just listen to this...
Opie, I can't listen.
Paul, you're erasing the tape!
That's what I mean to do. You bugged a conversation between a lawyer and his client. Now, that's violating one of the most sacred rights of privacy.
But, Paul...
No buts.
But if it helps the law...
Opie, the law... can't use this kind of help. Because whether a man is guilty or innocent, we have to find that out by due process of law.
How about that? Wouldn't that be a neat thing if it was still kind of like that? How cool would that be? Yeah. Okay, all right, let's move on. Let me check the chat room here and see what's going on. I hope y'all are getting ready to try to... meet me up in Yakima, Washington here in less than 2 weeks now. And let's see, 14, well, it's about 2 weeks, 16 days, I think. So we're going to have a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of training, a lot of classes, a lot of meetings of the minds going on up there. And for those of you that are involved with... the Patriot Movement and everything, you know, you really should try to make a point to get up there and check this out. What did I just see? B.B. Burner says something here about the low bore axis. I'm going to have to go back and check this out. I think I know what it is. It is a revolver, if I recall. I'm pretty sure I know just exactly what he's talking about. Mountain Shooter, no, I don't make any Ackley improved shells. I wanted to for years. I wanted to make my 257 Roberts a 257 Ackley improved. And it certainly would have helped. You know, it would add, just like most of them, it would have added 100 feet a second to it. But I just never could quite get the gumption to do it, because I just didn't want to take a chance on it. That thing shot like a damn laser anyway, so I just didn't want to take the chance of messing that up. So, you know, and then the rest of the story is history. We finally got to a point where I didn't see a future for the 257 Roberts anymore because of the way the world's going, so I decided to re-barrel it to a 308, and I am not unhappy that I did. That 308 shoots. I'm really, really happy with it. I had, that was on an old 722 Remington action, and I had a 308 barrel put on it. Very simple process, didn't cost too much. Threaded, of course. And then I had another guy come into the shop that had an immaculate 300 Savage in the same model, in the 722 Remington. And I said, well, how can I pass that up? All I got to do is rechamber it. I don't even have to change the barrel. But I did have it threaded. And both of them shoot really, really well. And I had Seiko extractor. Everybody says Seiko. It's actually Sako, but nobody says that. I had Seiko extractors put in both of them so that it's something that can be changed, repaired, swapped, whatever, in the field. The old Remington extractors were riveted in, and they are a booger to change, especially in the field. It's might near impossible to do in the field. So we changed those out. And then I have another 308 that's a newer 700, almost new. And it has the what is now called the rivetless extractor. Has the rivetless extractor in it, so it's another one that can be changed in the field. So I've got three really, really nice 308s right now. So Susie B asking about contenders. Susie B, I don't know what your skill level and knowledge is on firearms, but I'll tell you what. That contender is as accurate as most rifles. Contenders with the right load. Now you do have to have the right load because you don't want to take some of the rifle calibers and stuff with the slow burning powders and whatnot. We've been into that before, but they will shoot exceedingly well. The I'm not sure if 410 45 ACP and 25 45 barrel. There's no such thing as a 25 45 barrel that I'm aware of. I'm not sure if that was a typo or what, but we'll see what that is. And Doc, there are contenders with 30-30s in them, but there are no contenders with 308s in them. The contender for three or the Thompson pistol for 308 is a what do they call those now? It's not the, is it the G2? I forgot what it was, but anyway, 30-30 is it's a handful. Shoots pretty well. You want to use very fast burning powders. You know, fastest powders 748 works pretty good in there. 2230 works pretty good. 4031 fair, not too bad. And same with the 308s and stuff. When you get into the G2s, I think G2 is what it is that shoots the rifle calibers. Anyway, no, Holder has never heard this tape, Mountain Shooter, because tape hasn't been made yet. But we are working on it. Okay. Hot Shot, you may have missed the show when I was talking about it. I had a Thompson Center Contender. Matter of fact, I talked about this just the other night. The loudest rifle you ever heard was a single barrel 223. Well, cut about a foot off of that barrel on that New England single shot, and check out the report on it then. I had a contender with a 12-inch barrel and a 223, and good Lord Almighty, it was unbelievable. And I'll just leave it at that. I've talked about it recently, so anyway. Let's see. Let me try to catch up here. I've got a lot of catching up to do on the chat room real quick while I move along here. See if there's anything that needs to be talked about. Yakima, that would be that's a pretty inexpensive fix right there. If you want to rebarrel your 270 at 30-06, that's a pretty darn cheap deal to do. Doesn't take much at all. You just swap the barrel and a quick chamber ream, and you're off to the races. That's all there is to it. Everything else works fine. Okay. Long slide, you're right. The 30 Herit, That's a, what was the 30 Herat? That was a, let's see, there was a 357 Herat that I think was a 30-30 necked up to 357. The 30 Herat, was that a 30-30 that was the with a real steep shoulder angle and a blown out parallel case that wasn't tapered, I think? Is that what the 30 Herat was? It's been a long time since I've talked about that. But yeah, and Yakima, I just, as some of you may know, and I don't know if Doc has heard this yet, and I even hate to say it, Doc and C7 may not even know this yet, but I'll break it to you right now. I broke down and found an AR the other day, and a flat top Smith & Wesson M&P, and got it for a varmint gun only. And, you know, keep it clean and keep it lubed, and I'm sure it'll shoot prairie dogs for me, all right? All right. Let's go. Let me get rid of that one. I have, let me get some of this stuff out of the way. I'm getting cluttered up here already. In Nevada, we have good news coming out of Nevada. Nevada is doing away with the gun registration. For those of you that don't know, Nevada is a pretty good state for guns until you get to North Las Vegas and Clark County. They've got some city restrictions there. You have to register your handguns when you come into Clark County. There was a forevermore unmentioned training facility out there that got a deal if you were just coming through to go out there that they wouldn't they wouldn't make you register your guns. But anyway, for most of us, when we go in there, you're gonna spend the night, get a motel, visit friends, go out and shoot whatever, or just have your gun on you, it has to be registered in Clark County. Well, they're doing away with that. The governor there signed this into law just last couple of days, and they're doing away with the blue card system, the registration in Clark County, and they're also hang on a second. Goodness me, they're also expanding their out-of-state permit recognition, so it could be that Arizona and Florida might have the pleasure of being recognized in Nevada again, and Utah. I don't think any of the three of them right now are recognized in Nevada. So that'll be good. And they're also improving they've also expanded their castle doctrine law to vehicles. And helps give you that civil liability protection when your shooting is justified. Not always, only when you're justified. And that's pretty much standard everywhere. So the let's see if I missed any of them here. It's going to strengthen the firearms preemption statutes, ensuring consistency in gun laws throughout the Silver State. So that's a great thing. That way you go into North Las Vegas or somewhere, you're not going to wind up getting in trouble because they've got a preemption law. It's just changing their preemption law. Getting rid of the blue card system, expand the list of out-of-state permits. I'm anxious to see that. Improve self-defense laws. Okay, DeCastle Doctrine, we did that. And provide, okay, we talked about all that. All right, just thought I'd throw that out there for you. It's a good deal. There's also a new law coming out. This will be... I have a hard time believing that this one is going to what in the world is going on out there? I have a hard time believing that this one is going to make it, but it's a law that may allow former felons or some felons to get their Second Amendment rights back after they have served their time or whatever it was they were doing. Currently, those who are disallowed from purchasing firearms legally can petition their district court. However, legislative writers have since 1992 prevented the Justice Department from reviewing these applications, leaving those who have paid their debt to society to decide whether they will remain vulnerable to criminals or become criminals again by purchasing a firearm in violation of the law. The Republican congressman up there, Ken Buck, is taking this step, long overdue. His amendment to the annual spending bill, I love it when they attach gun things to spending bills, it worked great in 2009, allows for restoration of this right via an application. America is the land of second chances. One mistake should not define your future. A law-abiding 45-year-old dad who made one mistake at 18 should have the choice of how best to protect his family or take his kids hunting, and should have the chance to make a petition to restore his constitutional right to bear arms. This solution is long overdue. This bill does not intend in any way, shape, or form to allow a violent criminal to possess a firearm. Now, this is, I don't quite understand this, because if you have to petition everything, you can do that now. If you are convicted of a felony or maybe a gross major type misdemeanor that would take away your gun rights in some states and whatever, once you get out and you have you've served your sentence and you get out and you be a good boy for a while, you can put in for a pardon now. You know, and you don't even have to get a lawyer to do it. You can, it might be better off, but you don't necessarily need to. You write a letter to your governor, write a letter to, or get a letter from your parole officer saying you were a good boy or girl, and write a letter to the governor and plead your case and make it very articulate and punctually, grammatically correct. And I know that's very difficult for some of us to do. But, so I don't know that this law is all that exciting, since you can do that now. It may change the amount of time when you're going for a pardon. You need to, you need to wait for a while so you can prove that you're a productive citizen and whatnot. But, I don't know that the new law may be, well, as soon as you serve your time, then you can just do it, the next day or whatever. I don't know. So, let's see. What am I missing on the chat room here? What the what? Yeah. All right. I would. C7, you didn't tell me you would have just gave me one. If you just gave me one, I wouldn't have bought this one. Let me know now. I'll get my money back for this one. And you just give me one, and that would be great. I would go for that. If I had my MVP, that was what I was looking at for the truck gun. I like my lever action rifles. I love my lever action rifles. There is no such thing as a better balanced gun than a lever action rifle. Especially the little Marlins. But if I'm trying to hit a coyote out there at 400 yards, my little Marlin 44 is probably not up to it. Even if I put a scope on it, I'm pushing it out to 250, 300, and probably still really be pushing it to get minute of coyote at that range. And I don't want to, if I'm stuck out somewhere, the lever action is perfect because it gives me, close in varmint shooting, gives me good self-protection mode and a hillbilly assault rifle kind of. It's fast and accurate, easy to reload and keep going while you're shooting and all that. We've talked about the virtues of the lever action. But as things go along here, I'm thinking that if I need the accuracy for the coyote out there at 400 yards, I don't want to limit myself to a bolt action in the times that we are going through right now and the times that we are facing. And my AK certainly doesn't have it. Doesn't have the accuracy for that range. So the AR is just, to me, the obvious choice. I'm getting it sheerly for the accuracy. It's a magazine-fed semi-automatic. If I need to use it to fight off for a while, I do plan to keep it cleaned and well lubed and keep it where it'll run well. And that's going to be, I still have every intention of falling back on my AKs when the balloon goes up. But the AR, I think, will probably serve its purpose. I haven't taken this one out yet and really checked it to see what it'll do. Still, let's see. Okay. I'll get out there. It's probably going to be after I get back. Actually, I may even do it while I'm at up in Washington. I don't know if I'll have time between now and then. But anyway. Yeah, C7, you're actually not much of a regular anymore. You've been late quite a few times, so you better see if you can redeem yourself here. All right, let's look here. Let's take these here. You know, I was surprised to hear this, that I wasn't surprised that Oregon's governor signed this new law into law about the background checks and stuff. What I was surprised about was Oregon held a pretty good accounting of themselves. And I feel like I need to give a little credit to the Liberty for All movement there to get people. And I think because that we had very dedicated, vocal people over there, I think that helped the people in Oregon to stand out there when they opposed this law. And I was proud of the Patriots of Oregon. I think they did a pretty good job. And what I'm even prouder of is some of the law enforcement agencies there have said, no, we're not going to enforce that. It is highly unlikely that we will prosecute anyone for violating this law. And I said, well, that's okay. Thank you very much. I think it, what was it, Laney County or Lindsay County or Landy County or something like that. But I think, here we go, let's see. Out of Eugene, Oregon, Lane County. Lane County commissioners passed a resolution Tuesday saying that they likely won't prosecute anyone who violates the law. Lengthy, heated conversation between Lane County commissioners talking about Senate Bill 941 and the resolution from Lane County. Governor Kate Brown signed the bill into law on May 11th. On Tuesday, opponents shared their thoughts, blah, blah, blah. Okay. All right, there you go. Good job, Oregon. Happy to hear that. Let me see what... okay, I see... who was it? B.B. Burner posted this here, the Diamondback. I saw, I believe that was one of the ones, we saw those at the SHOT Show. And for all intents and purposes, it's a Glock with a rail and a grip reduction is about what it looks like. And the axis of recoil on there, I think, is still an eighth or 3/16 more than a Glock. A Glock has no peer when it comes to bore axis height there. This one is close. I'm not sure that it's any closer than the Taurus 24/7. The Taurus 24/7 is, up until now, was the runner-up, second closest thing to the Glock. Now, if you look at the back of this this Diamondback and everything, it's pretty much identical to the Glock. Very, very close. And except for the bore height. Now, if you look at this, and if you take a Glock, an unloaded Glock in your home, and hold it in your hand, and look at the pictures of this on that link that B.B. Burner posted, the Glock still is clearly the undisputed champion. Let's see if it says anything in here. Weight with empty magazine, trigger pull, barrel length, barrel diameter, overall height. Thing doesn't say. Maximum width, trigger reach, magazine disconnect. No, doesn't say anything about the height of the axis of the bore here. It says it sets very low in the hand, making for one of the most comfortable 9x19 pistols that I have ever fired. The weapon is not small, but not overly bulky either. Yeah, it's a Glock with a grip reduction is about what it is. So I don't know what it looks like inside. I haven't shot one yet. Maybe we'll get around to that here one of these days. All right. Have I got all my little trivial stuff out of the way here? There's Nevada's law. Let's go over this real quick before we start our other topic. And there's been a story come out here about defensive ammo and the comparison of that with practice ammo. And you know, for the first time in a while, I don't agree with these stories all the time. But this one's pretty spot on. It's not bad. And it basically says, I guess the reason that it's pretty spot on, I agree with it, because it agrees with me. And I agree with it, and we are living happily ever after. But basically what it boils down to is you're looking for a good quality. If you're buying defensive hollow point ammo, you're going to spend a minimum of $1 a round for it, typically. And if you're paying any less than that, it's probably just some generic hollow points. Just buying a box of hollow points does not necessarily make your gun a defensive handgun. Maybe a defensive handgun, but it does not have defensive ammo in it. When you buy stuff that's $1, $1.25, $1.50, $2 a round, now you're talking about something that is designed to do a tremendous amount of damage, a lot of shock, blood loss, tissue damage, blah, 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 and partridge in a pear tree. And some of your cheaper stuff cannot be relied upon to do that. Your non-expanding bullets are certainly not reliable to do that at all. So with all this in mind, you know, what you need to do is quit fretting about what caliber you get. There's just too many people. If you like a 45, shoot a 45. If you like a 45 because you think it's the best thing out there, well, that's not necessarily the case anymore. It was for many, many years. But with modern technology and metallurgy and whatnot, the 9mm is every bit. Now, you've got more weight, you've got more energy, but when you're talking about penetration and bullet expansion, the 9mm is as good as anything out there. It's more ammo, cheaper ammo, higher capacity, flat shooting, straight, low recoil. Noise is not terrible on it. I mean, there's just not any downsides. If I had to make up a downside for it, I'd say, well, if you get caught and you're needing to shoot through car doors and solid core doors and things like that, well, the 9mm may not be the very best, but it's not bad. It's the 40 does better in that regard. But as far as bullet expansion, whether it's going to put your guy on the ground, 40 is really not. You know, it's what is it in actual shooting? It's 5% better. So what? So not really a big deal. So let's go. I won't spend a whole long time on that. We've talked about it quite a bit. I'm just letting you know that there's a new story out. A guy's done a very, very in-depth study of a number of different types of this ammo and calibers, 9, 40, and 45 primarily. And he's finding out that, it looks like he threw a 357 SIG in there with some of it. And he's finding out that it's just not worth arguing about. It's just not there. It doesn't matter. Get over it already. Okay, now then, the LA, LA Times, there's an op-ed in here that says, why police shouldn't use Glocks. Oh, really? Well, let's go through this. Let me get a drink of my Gatorade here. Let's check this out. It says that Timothy Stansberry died in a New York housing project stairwell in 2004 because he startled a police officer. The officer's surprise at encountering Stansberry caused the officer's hand to clench and his weapon to fire. Death was ruled accidental by a grand jury, though the officer was later stripped of his gun for the remainder of his career. Okay, so in realistically, they blamed it on the officer, but they wanted to blame it on the gun. His the problem here was that his finger was on the trigger. And when he clenched, it fired. I can promise you, beyond any shadow of a doubt, any amount of money you want to bet, if he'd have been carrying a 1911 in a situation like that when he knew he was about to face someone, safety would have been off, and he probably still would have had his finger on the trigger. And when he clenched, it would have went off. If he would have had a double-action revolver, it would have done the same thing. If he would have had an XD, it would have done the same thing. What the hell has Glock got to do with it? That is a stupid statement. The solution to this is to keep your head out of your poop chute and keep your booger hook off the loud button. And you won't have those problems. It astounds me. I'm just getting so bad here I can't even talk. I'm stuttering. It astounds me that people would say something this stupid. These people don't take any time to go out and look and see what the facts of the... just the facts, ma'am. What the facts of the matter is here. My chat room is run up here to the top. I got to cruise down here and see if I can see what's going on in the chat room here. The 260 Remington Mountain Shooter, yes, absolutely. It will go into a short action Remington, certainly. Arsenal Firearms. I'll check that link out, Yakima Glock. I know which one you're talking about. I saw it at the SHOT Show also last year. Let me click on that so it'll open up, and I'll check it out here in a few minutes. I got way too much stuff opened up here. Let's see. All right. And Doc, that's right. He, all things being equal, weight and velocity wins. But, you know, if the bullet, if you can't get the bullet to perform, I would say that velocity was probably be the, if you had a 9mm bullet that was going 800 feet a second, they probably wouldn't be saying this. If you had a 45 that was going 1,200 feet a second, that would change things too. When you have the smaller, lighter bullet going half again as fast, 50% faster, it makes a difference. No doubt about it. That doesn't change the fact that if you're talking about just sheer brute force, then the 45 is the clear winner. But if you're talking about bullet performance, then 45 lacks a little to be desired with many types of rounds. You guys are smoking along here on the chat room. I can't keep up. All right, there we go. Let's get back over here. I'm going to get rid of that. I got to open me up a little bit of room here. Okay. The next one. Guy named Gurley, Akai Gurley, died in another New York housing area project in the stairwell. A rookie officer with his finger on the trigger tensed up as he pushed open a stuck door, and the added pressure to the trigger caused the weapon to fire, shot down the stairwell, ricocheted off a wall, and struck the guy. The shot wasn't intentional. The officer didn't know Gurley was there. The death has been ruled a criminal homicide, and the officer's trial is pending. In both of these incidents, the police officers were using the same weapon, a Glock polymer frame striker-fired pistol with a short trigger pull and no external safeties. The external safety wouldn't have mattered. I can tell you, and I'm pretty sure that Doc would agree with me on this, and probably everybody else out there. If you're, we're talking about rookies, and if you're, even if it wasn't a rookie, it would depend on how many shootings or near shootings or whatever someone had been in, that if you are going through a room and your finger's on the trigger, and something changes in that room, you're probably going to pull the trigger, number one. But the other thing is, if you're shooting a 1911 or an HK or a Ruger or whatever, you're probably going to have the safety off. I would bet probably 99, maybe 100% of the time, if you're going in with your finger on the trigger, you must be expecting something to happen, and your safety is probably going to be off. And it wouldn't have mattered whether what the hell kind of pistol it was. And it probably wouldn't have mattered if it had been a double-action revolver. Longer, harder, yeah, but is that a longer and harder enough to keep you from doing it in a high-stress situation? No, I don't think so. Not for most people. More experienced people, yeah, maybe. What has Yakima Glock put in here? Yakima Glock, what did you say up here? You asked me a question a while ago, and I forgot what it was. Let's see. I must have missed it there somewhere. Oh, well, I guess if you can think of it, or maybe it wasn't even you. I don't know who it was. Okay. All right, let's go back over here and look. They say it's a popular handgun for New York. The Los Angeles Police Department has a number of firearms approved for use, including 9 Glock models. They recently started issuing new recruits to Smith & Wesson M&P with a short trigger pull that operates in much the same way. Glock uses the marketing term safe action. Okay, yeah, we know all that. But just last month in Ocala, Florida, police officer Jared Forsyth was shot and killed by a fellow officer after a Glock training session. Fellow officer failed to do a chamber check before pulling the trigger as part of the handgun's normal disassembly procedure. For crying out loud, people! Would that same thing have happened with an XD? Yes, because you have to pull the trigger. Would the same thing have happened with a Sigma? Yes, it would have had to do. You'll have to pull the trigger to get it taken apart. It had nothing to do with it being a Glock. What it had to do was ill-trained people and lack of supervision. Someone should have checked these people before they come in. There should not have been any ammo if they're doing a armorer's class. Thou shalt not bring ammo into the room. And why were you pointing the gun at your fellow officer anyway? So if there had been no ammunition in there, you could have got away with it. If, since you had ammunition in there, if you would have pointed it somewhere else, you still could have got away with it. If you'd have checked the chamber and pointed it in the other direction, you would have even done it right. How about that? The gun fired. The bullet went through a gap in the body armor. Despite the efforts of paramedics to keep him alive, the young officer died on the way to the hospital. In terms of mechanical design, there are a few flaws. There are few flaws with Glock pistols. If a law enforcement officer, soldier, or citizen does exactly what they are supposed to do all the time with cyborg certainty, there will be no problems with the Glock or other popular pistols mimicking it. That's right. That is a fact. Unfortunately, RoboCop is only a movie, and humans are liable to make similar mistakes over and over again. And I can tell you, I'm not going to say beyond a doubt, But if you're going to carry a gun or a chainsaw or a hammer or a drill or something like that, and if you handle it all the time, you handle it every day, you handle it with purposeful intent, with proper training, you will become RoboCop. You will become that cyborg. You watch all the years that I spent with Jason. Jason is that cyborg. I am that cyborg. Wes is that cyborg, my son. People that have taken, you know, several classes from me and been around where I could keep an eye on them and guide them a little bit once more, they have become that cyborg. It gets to a point where you are incapable of pointing that weapon at another human being if you're not planning to shoot him. You are incapable of unloading that gun and not checking it gets to be where you just automatically, reflexively, and without fail do that. You're a human being. Can you fail? Yeah, I understand that. Yes, you could, because we're humans. But to keep these other safety rules in mind, if you forget one, the other three are there to help make up for that. If you forget two, all bets are off. If you forget to pretty much any two, the chance is there to hit somebody. But you can forget any one of them and be mindful of the other three and probably be okay. But let's see here. There's certain things, and people just don't get it. They handle guns for a living, and they don't get nearly. You know, I can't tell you how many cops say, yeah, we train with our firearms 40 hours a year. Shit, boy, come out here. We 40 hours in a long weekend. We've probably got, I'd have to sit down and count back in the, from 2003 until 2000, probably for 7 or 8 or 9 years there, I was probably getting, with constant handling and firing, I'm going to say that I was getting, I'm going to guess close to 2,000 hours or more a year. And you want to brag about 40 hours? We're going to do almost 40 hours in Yakima up here in 3 weeks. And I'm going to guarantee you, I'm going to promise you, these people come out of this class up there after that 40 hours, if they will keep doing what they're supposed to be doing and practice like I'm going to try real hard to instill in them, they will be head and shoulders over the average trained law enforcement officer out there. Now, that's not to say that your FBI agents and your specials, Secret Service and some of those, yeah, I know they do a lot more, and they're good. They do well. Do they have an accident occasionally? Yeah, but not very often. Usually it's city and county police. Your SWAT guys usually not too much, and the FBI and Secret Service, you don't hear about them too often. Once in a while, but it's pretty rare. They're humans, but I've been out there with some FBI guys, and I was pretty impressed with their training. They did a good job. So. Mountain shooter, am I still a wowing? You have a lisp or what? Is that am I still wowing Lee? I've never wowed Lee Rhodes in my class. If they are commercial reloads from a from a commercial remanufacturer, yes. Reloads from a of your own reloads, no. Several reasons for that. I don't check every single round that you have in your pocket when you come up on the firing line. Could you sneak some by me? Probably so. And if they work flawlessly, I'll never know. But I have seen so many reloads that have either been squib loads and we wind up with a bullet stuck in the barrel, which takes time away from everybody, or they too hot, they blow the barrel up, blow the slide open, misfires, no powder in it, just enough, the primer will push the bullet up into the barrel, which is basically like a squib load, and takes the gun out of commission. Sometimes they don't feed because they're not resized properly. I mean, just so many things that causes. Now, it costs other people have paid good money to take this class too, and we don't like to take away from them, and that's why I don't like it. If it was just me and you, you know, one or two people, it wouldn't be quite so bad. When you have 10, 12, 15 people, 20 people up there on the firing line, and you got some guy that wanted to disobey our policies and try to sneak reloads in there and then find out that he's not quite the reloader that he thought he was, I am left with little choice but to either rent him a gun and sell him or sell him some ammunition, if I have it, or kick him off the line. And I make that abundantly clear before we start the class. I will make you go home, or you can finish the class with a blue gun. When you start slowing people down with reloads, you're done. You'll finish it with a blue gun. You can finish it with your finger gun and do like C7 does. Pew, 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 pew. And that's okay. You can still learn quite a bit that way. But if you want to shoot with the big boys and make loud noises and stuff like everybody else does, then you need to not bring reloads. What's Hotshot doing here? Hotshot, welcome, by the way. I'm glad you made it in here. Seeing you a little more often here lately. They used to not stress finger on the trigger so much in the past as they do now. You know, and I've said this before. We've talked about this. Back in the old days, we're going way over time here, but that's okay. Back in the old days, when cops were shooting double-action revolvers, not only did they not stress finger on the trigger, they stressed finger on the trigger. Because they felt at that time, they didn't have the training and the knowledge that we have now, they felt at that time that if the finger was on the trigger, that it saved time coming out of the holster, and by the time you got on target, they actually started taking the slack out of the trigger on double-action revolvers as they were coming out of the holster. Some holsters were even made so that you could put your finger on the trigger as you're bringing the gun out of the holster. Do they do that anymore? Absolutely not. There is not a holster manufacturer probably on the planet, but certainly not in this country, that makes holsters like it. Tom Three Persons was a very famous holster maker that made a lot of holsters that way. And so this went on for quite a while, and the cops were teaching their kids, they're teaching their friends, they're teaching their, they're probably teaching civilian classes out there, and everybody was doing it because that's the way the cops did it. But when they started wondering how come those cops kept shooting themselves in the foot, and there's bullets in the firing line from your toes all the way out to the target, they said, "What the hell is going on here? What is wrong?" I'll tell you what's wrong. Don't put your finger on the trigger until you need to. Don't put your booger hook on the loud button until you want to make some noise, and then it's okay. It wasn't as much of an issue as long as they were pointing in a safe direction. But when you're coming out of the holster, when your finger was on the trigger as you're coming out of the holster, It wasn't pointing in a safe direction. It was pointed at your butt or down your leg, one or the other. Let me check on my chat room. I'm going to find a stopping point here before long. And Doc, you know, all of us practice, well, not all of us, but most of us practice with reloads, of course. But when you're getting out there with the liability of other people that's paid $1,000 for a 3 or 4 day class, we can't afford to be holding them up. Certainly, it's cheaper to shoot. But then it's your own liability. It's your own time and everything out, and nobody cares. If you want to, you know, do whatever and it takes time to get it cleared, well, that's okay. It doesn't matter. But when we've got a lot of people on the line, we have a very full agenda there trying to keep things moving. We haven't got time to be stopping and clearing malfunctions and stuff because of poorly loaded ammunition. And that's another good thing. And certainly with the 40, even more so, just because of its larger diameter and more powder capacity. When that bullet pushes down in the case a little bit, you can push that thing in there a 16th of an inch, and it probably adds 5,000 pounds or more to your pressure. So if you're driving it in there very far, you can make a serious bomb there pretty quick. Doc, that's certainly a possibility of recessed bullets or setback bullets rather than too much powder. Of course, there's been two companies now that have taken the blame for overloaded factory ammunition and for a lot of the Glock problems. That was Federal and Speer had some problems with some loaded, commercially loaded ammunition that was wrong. C7, if you look at any of your 357 Magnums, 44 Magnums, 41 Magnums, 45 Colts, if they have jacketed bullets, 30-30s, 35 Remingtons, 45-70, just about all of those with jacketed bullets have that little cannelure that you're talking about, that little ridge that is embossed into the bullet, and you want to put your crimp at that point if you can. If you're not going to use the cannelure, then in some cases you might want to back your loads down a little bit, and you might want to use a taper crimp die. With most of your rifle cases, probably you'd be better off to put them in that cannelure. Well, all right. Well, it's time after nine, and I'm thinking about going in and watching American Sniper tonight. So if I'm going to do that, I probably need to get on out of here. We'll see you all tomorrow night for Liberty Lounge. And I very much appreciate you joining me tonight. See you then. Bye-bye.
We'll travel, reach the card of a man. A knight without armor in a savage land. His fast gun for hire keeps the calling wind. A soldier of...
Okay, that about wraps it up for another PM edition of the Shooting Bench. To join me every Thursday night for 2 hours of 99 and 44 100% pure gun talk. Good night.
A chest knight of silver is his badge of trust. There are campfire legends that the flames men speak of the man.